Good morning.
Morning.
The very wet one.
Yep.
Okay. I think we're ready? Yeah. You got the recording on? Yeah, okay. Yes, good morning. Being 8:32, I'm going to call the this audit committee meeting of September 20th, 2022 to order and begin by acknowledging that we are in Mi'kma'ki, the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people. The first thing on the agenda is nomination election by ballot of the chair. So I will ask everyone to fill out who they would like the chair to be. Our deputy CAO is showing that the ballot box is empty.
We have Councillor Haysom, Councillor Hubley, Councillor Statton, Councillor Oikle. Those are the names. So we have Councillor Haysom, Councillor Hubley, Councillor Statton, and Councillor Oikle.
Councillor Statton?
I'd like to respectfully withdraw my name. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Oikle?
I would also like to withdraw my name, please.
Okay, so it looks like we're voting now for Councillor Hubley or Councillor Haysom for chair. Councillor Greek, can you email your vote to Alex, please, for chair?
Already done.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Haysom? Councillor Haysom? Councillor Haysom. Councillor Hubley. Councillor Haysom. Councillor Hubley. Councillor Haysom. Councillor Hubley. Councillor Hubley. And one more for Councillor Hubley.
It's okay. Our procedures account for that.
So it's a tie.
Can I withdraw my name now?
Yes, yep. We did.
Yeah.
We did count. Yeah, Councillor Greek's vote was counted.
Yeah, you can withdraw your name. We do have in our council procedures the process if there's a tie. There's more ballots that keep going.
Okay.
Yep.
Well,
if she wants to withdraw,
but if she's withdrawing her name, do we have to do that?
No, you don't.
No. So Councillor Hubley is withdrawing her name?
Yes.
Then Councillor Haysom is elected as chair.
Okay.
Yes?
Get up
there. Yeah, that works.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have any that motion, this is where they go to get destroyed.
Thank you. Do the Tic Tacs come with a job?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, maybe I did want that job then. Darn it.
Thank you very much. Okay. So we will call this meeting to order and... Sorry, Vice Chair. I should read the agenda. Okay, so nomination and election by ballot of Vice Chair. So vote away.
And Councillor Greek, you'll email Deputy CAO for your vote for Vice Chair. Thank you.
We have Councillor Hubley. Councillor DeLong. Councillor Bell. Councillor Oikle.
Did you get Michelle's?
I did not. Thank you.
You're welcome. Please.
We're good. Okay, so we have Councillor Hubley, Councillor Bell, Councillor DeLong, and Councillor Oikle.
Okay. Let's do this.
Councillor Oikle has her hand up.
Oh.
Okay, Councillor Oikle.
I'd like to withdraw my name, please.
Okay. Anyone else?
So we have, yeah. Councillor Bell, Hubley,
and DeLong.
All set?
Is that box empty?
Double check.
All right.
You don't want to have
right.
11 votes at the end. That causes
that's
problems.
Right.
And we're live.
I would say that publicly.
So, Michelle's
Okay, we'll start the tally. Councillor Hubley. Another one for Hubley. Councillor Hubley. Councillor Hubley. Councillor DeLong. Councillor Hubley. Councillor DeLong. Councillor Bell. Councillor DeLong. Councillor Hubley. That's enough. Councillor Hubley is vice chair of the audit committee by ballot.
Thank you. Can we have a motion to destroy the ballots? Moved by Councillor Wynot, seconded by Councillor DeLong. All those in favor? Okay. And Michelle? Sorry, Councillor Greek?
Yes.
Okay. The motion is passed. So I'm not sure if we did have the land acknowledgement. We did? Okay, thank you. So next we move along to the approval of the agenda. Could I have a motion to approve the agenda? Moved by Councillor Hubley, seconded by Councillor Oichel. All those in favor? Councillor Greek?
Yes.
That motion is passed unanimously. Okay, approval of the minutes of July 5th as circulated. Can I have a motion for approval of the minutes? Moved by Councillor DeLong, seconded by Councillor Statton. All those in favor? Councillor Greek?
Yes.
And that motion is passed unanimously. Okay, we move along to item 5, which is management letter.
We have Michelle Laird and Michael Bellevue here from Bellevue.
Okay. So we will have Michelle Laird and Michael Bellevaux from Bellevaux Vino to present that management letter. I'll pass it over to you.
There we go. Hi. First off, I'd like to thank Elena and her finance team for making the audit go so smoothly this year. It's always a pleasure being here. So I'll start with the management letter. So included in the management letter this year, we have highlighted that under the public service accounting standards, they've issued a new standard for the asset retirement obligation, which does not come in effect until next fiscal year. However, Elena and her team has been working diligently to make sure that the impact on that is going to be considerably less work by the end of the audit season, so it will be ready by the time that we come to look at that. The other point that we highlighted in the management letter was management's proactive approach to procedures and the transparency of counselor remuneration and counselor expenses because it is highly visible in the public and some scrutiny has been following that over the last couple of years. So that was the highlighted pieces in our management letter. Should I continue on to the internal control
letter? Sure, that would be great if you want to just, move through internal control letter. Thanks.
So included on an internal control letter this year. So in addition to issuing our opinion on the audited statements, we also provide a highlight of any of the internal control items that we may note. This year we only noted one item that we had identified in the prior year, which was a policy needed concerning U.S. dollar payments. So we are pleased to report this policy has been put in place and is working accurately in order to receive foreign currency at par, which has almost completely eliminated the risk in the foreign exchange moving forward in those payments. If I continue on to the audit reports. So we've issued two separate audit reports on the two separate sets of financials. So the first set of financials is your consolidated statement, which includes your reserves, your capital, and your operating functions of the municipality. We've issued a clean report, which means essentially that we believe that the financial statements present fairly in all material respects the position of the municipality. The consolidated statements are presented in following Canadian public sector accounting standards. We'd like to draw attention to note 18 on page A31, which highlights the councillor remuneration and that no hospitality expenses have been incurred in the current or prior year. I'd also like to highlight that the straight pipe project has now been fully funded and the work is expected to be completed by the spring of 2023. And our other audit report is issued on the trust set of financial statements. The trust follows the Canadian Accounting Standards for Not-for-Profit Organizations, and we have issued a clean audit report on those statements as well. Any questions or comments?
Okay, thank you very much. Unless there are Councillor Greek, if you have any questions or comments. Okay. Okay, thank you very much for all that information. Okay, so the next we're going to move along to the Treasurer's Report, and I'll pass it over to Elena.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So some of the highlights in the Treasurer Report our auditors have already discussed, but we'll move forward. Part of the Treasurer's Report is to talk about the annual cost variances in comparison to budget, reviewing your financial statements, reviewing the hospitality expenses and reportable individuals, which Michelle drew your attention to, review the trust statements and compliance. That's under the financial reporting and accounting manual rules. Those are the things that the audit committee must do. So if we move through the treasurer's report, what I've done is I've discussed the consolidated statements and Paige referenced it for you. So as you know, the four required PSAP financial statements are the statement of financial position, statement of operations, statement of cash flow, and statement of changes in net financial asset. So on page A2 is your consolidated statement of financial position, and that's a balance sheet summarizing the financial assets and liabilities of the municipality. The statement highlights the net financial asset, which is the difference between the financial assets and liabilities, the investment in capital assets, and the accumulated surplus. The municipality was able to invest in assets by leveraging funding from other levels of government and using its own reserves with no capital borrowing. The results in net financial asset on this statement, which show an increase in accumulated surplus. So the accumulated surplus on your net financial asset is $82.1 million. That includes $40.5 million in capital, $23.9 million in reserves, and $3.5 for the Municipal Joint Services Board and $14.1 for the Lunenburg County Multipurpose Corporation. Because these are consolidated financial statements, the MJSB and the LCLC have to be brought in. So that's why those are included there. If you move on to page A3, the consolidated statement of operations, which is the summary of your revenues and expenditures and surplus for the year. The statement consists of funds for general operations, capital, and the municipality's share of the LCLC and the MJSB. The consolidated statement of operations shows an annual surplus for fiscal 2022 of $4.4 million with a budgeted surplus of $1.3 million. So there is a variance of $3 million. The big driving factors to that, one was deed transfer tax. We certainly try to budget for that. However, we know that the hot housing sales here in the municipal district have driven that number beyond our budget expectations. So the total revenue for consolidated revenue is $30.6 million, which is $1.5 million over budget. On the expenditure side, as you know, we budget conservatively, and sometimes we don't spend all we expect to spend, just depending on operations. Some of them, other administrative services was one category in the middle of the page that we didn't spend $570,000. A significant portion of that was the transfer of the pension plan to the DB pension plan with the PSSP. Mm-hmm. We budgeted the entire reserve because we weren't conservatively sure exactly where it was going to come, but it came in significantly under that, which meant was good news for us because we didn't have to spend that money, and that money can stay in reserves and be reclassified for other expenditures. So the total expenditure variance was $1.4 million, which gave us the $4.4 million actual. So that's your statement of operations. if we move on to the statement of cash flows, which is page A4, that reports a change in cash by showing how the municipality financed its activities and met its cash requirements throughout the year. The operating annual surplus is affected by non-cash items like amortizations and changes in receivables, payables, and liabilities. Capital activities include the purchase and disposal of tangible capital assets. Financing activities include acquisition of and payments of long-term debt. Investing activities include investments, loans, and advances, and inventory held for sale. If we move on to A5, which is your consolidated statement of changes in net financial assets, this is a statement required under the PSAB reporting standard. It explains the change in the net financial asset as a result of annual operations, transactions in the tangible capital assets, and changes in other non-financial assets such as prepaid expenses and inventories. The municipality is in a strong financial position. It's increased its net financial asset by $2.6 million. Accumulated surplus is down from last year to 4.4 from 5.4. As Michelle stated from Belleville Vino, the hospitality expenses of reportable individuals is on note 18, which is on page A32 of the financial statements. We had a page numbering differential after after we got them put together. Part of the audit committee's responsibility is to look at the reasonableness of those expenses. And those reportable individuals are your mayor, councillors, and the CAO. The municipality does not have any hospitality expenses to report in 21-22. Are there any questions on the financial statements for the municipality before we move on to trust?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Oh,
Councillor
Statton?
Councillor Statton?
Thank you. I just have a quick question here on disposal of tangible assets of $208,000. And then we have acquisition of prepaid expenses. So maybe you could just explain those two. One's a deficit, one's a plus.
So the disposal of tangible capital assets is actually us taking the land that we have for sale and moving it into inventory. And there was some write-off of some balance, little bit of REMO that was left from the old building that we'd missed in a prior year. So because we moved to a new building and disposed of all of those assets in REMO, I did find another one that we had to deal with. So we pulled that in. Prepaid expenses is when we pay for something in March or beforehand, like maybe, and then we have to. We're not going to be using it till the next year, like insurance. Our insurance runs till the end of October. So part of that is prepaid every year. So when we pay it in October, we do a calculation, kind of a prorated, to determine how much is in the current fiscal year and how much is in the next fiscal year. So that's called a prepaid.
Thank you.
Are there any more questions? Okay, carry on.
So as Michelle discussed, the trust fund financial statements are prepared in accordance with Canadian accounting standards for nonprofit organizations. It does include funds that have been entrusted to the municipality. There are burial funds in the amount of $3,120 held for three residents of Riverview Enhanced Living. School lands trust account, which is $26,227, representing the municipality's interest in the New Germany Regional High School and Parkview Education Center lands, and $1 million for funds donated by the Lunenburg County Community Fund. So that those monies are available now based on the MOU for the Lunenburg County Community Fund. The audit committee must review the municipality's compliance with statutory and regulatory obligations within the committee's area of responsibility, reviewing the audited financial statements, annual budget variances, expenses for reportable individuals, and hospitality expenses meet this obligation. As well, staff can report that all mandatory reporting to the province, our annual expenditure report, capital investment plan, statement of estimates, have been submitted by the required deadlines, and the financial information return will be submitted this week before and once council approves the financial statements, those will be submitted as well to meet our September 30th deadline.
Okay, are there any further questions? Okay, hearing none. We move down to item 8, correct?
We're looking for the motion.
So we do need a motion, motion 8.3 for audited financial statements, and I'll ask Councillor Bell if he would make that motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the Chair and members of the Audit Committee, I move that the Audit Committee recommends to Council that Municipal Council accept the municipality of the District of Lunenburg's financial statements for the year ended March 31st, 2022. I so move.
Thank you. And seconded by Councillor Wynott. All those in favor? And Councillor Greek?
Yes.
Okay, that motion is carried unanimously. moving on to item 9, Draft Financial Condition Indicators 2021. And pass it over to Elena.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. So you have before you your 2020-2021 Draft Financial Condition Indicator results. The province has not released the final report yet. However, the Audit Committee is required to review them as part of the FRAM legislation. Because the next Audit Committee meeting is usually scheduled for July of 2023, we thought it was more timely for you to look at the draft FCIs now and to meet the statutory requirement, and when the full report's available, we will circulate it. These numbers won't change. It's just you'll have a more fulsome report to go with it. So we know the indicators provide a risk-based approach to evaluating municipalities and are presented in a house format graph. This visual focuses on key performance indicators, leading financial indicators, and potential internal and external factors that could have an impact on the municipality's financial results. The risk thresholds are colored. Yellow indicates medium risk, red indicates high risk, and green low risk. The enclosed report indicates that the overall financial condition risk assessment for our municipality is green, which means that it's considered low risk for fiscal instability. We have green indicators in all categories except budget accuracy and debt service. Budget accuracy is red due to budget surpluses. We know our budget's a plan and it can change throughout the year. Our accuracy can get skewed when we budget for project placeholders and those projects do not become available, when plans are delayed due to funding partnership approvals, or when revenue estimates are too conservative. The surpluses are placed in reserves to ensure these funds are, there are funds to help mitigate the financial impact of major non-recurring or unforeseen expenditures on the municipality's annual operating budget, as well as take advantage of unexpected opportunities to leverage external funding programs. The debt service ratio is yellow as the municipality chose to pay off its outstanding debt using a balloon payment instead of refinancing that debt. We know we have a five-year financial plan that included annual reserve transfers to ensure this debt could be paid off while maintaining the existing tax rate. Based on the indicators related to the municipal revenues, the base, our general operating revenue is stable. Our assessment growth is above the consumer price index, indicating our tax base is able to cover increasing costs of municipal services and programs. Based on the indicators related to general operating expenses and management of those expenses, the structure, MODL has maintained a balanced budget, as well as all outstanding debt has been paid out, and we continue to preserve reserve levels while maintaining capital assets with 77% useful life remaining. The roof indicators show that MODL has been able to meet its need in a balanced manner. MODL is not dependent on another level of government to meet its service obligations and is setting aside sufficient funds to help mitigate any unforeseen risks. The municipality continues to have healthy combined reserves, which is important to help address unexpected events and provide flexibility to address future projects.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Okay, seeing none. That's a great report. It's nice to see even the things that are red or yellow are because we're exceeding expectations. So that's great. I do want to just mention that there were regrets sent from Mayor Carolyn Bolivar-Getson, so I'd just like that to be on the record. And our next meeting, you said July of 2023. So, you know, mark that down. Don't forget. And then I would like to have a motion for adjournment. Councillor Wynott, seconded by Councillor DeLong. All those in favour? Councillor Greek?
Yes.
And the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.